Future Quest, how we doing this afternoon? Come on, come on, come on. Man, it is always such an honor, such a privilege to hang out with y'all. Last night before, I jumped on online because I wanted to make sure I don't tell any stories that I told the last couple of years. So I'm like going through the different years. And what was so cool as I was doing that, it was like, oh my gosh, like here's a movement of God that God's been doing here in San Diego County for dozens of years. And student after student, church after church group comes. And it's amazing how God will impact you if you lean in over these next couple of days. Yesterday, you guys heard from Josh Griffith. Do you guys enjoy Josh yesterday? Yeah? Yeah. Dude, Josh is one of my really close friends. I love what he's been doing. He's been a pastor even longer than I have, which is hard to believe. But the thing I love what Josh talked about yesterday morning specifically is when he talked about the condition of our heart and really how the condition of our heart is indicative of what the rest of our life looks like. What's going on in here will dictate really the rest of your life. And that word really struck home for me as I was just kind of reviewing and listening to Josh's talk. Because I was like, do I tell the students about like, oh, this is what it's like when you're old and da-da-da. And I was like, no, like, let me remember what it's like to be you. This is crazy to me, but my daughter is like now in student ministry, which is like nuts. Like for my daughter to be like a little girl to now being in youth ministry is nuts to me. And I'm beginning to see the world much more through her eyes. I think back to when I was, you know, seventh grade or so. I grew up in a pretty affluent community. That means a bunch of rich white people is where I grew up. Wasn't hard to find me. And I remember going to school and being consumed with what everyone else thought about me. I didn't say it out loud. I wasn't like, there was no internet then, like if hard to believe, but like I wasn't posting it. I wasn't doing all that, but I was just consumed with what other people thought about me. And I would do just about anything to like be seen well in their eyes. I'm like a fashionista. I don't know if you can tell, but like my drip is very important to me as an old man. Wait till you see my outfit tonight. It's bananas. But like I had a locker where I had like my books and stuff. And right next to that locker, I had two more lockers. Inside of those other two lockers, those were the more important ones, not the ones where my books and stuff were. These other two lockers. Because this was like my wardrobe closet. At school, I would actually change my clothes sometimes in the middle of the day, depending on like who I was gonna go have lunch with. And for sure, at the end of the day, if I was hanging out with my athlete buddies, like I played basketball my whole life, I know it's hard to tell by my round shape, but like if I was going to hang out with my basketball friends, I made sure, actually, homeboy over there, you have a pair of Pippins on, the Scotty Pippins, you with the glasses inside for some reason, but you have those Scotty Pippins on. I had the original ones of those. Like, so I remember wearing my Pippins, or like if I was going to hang out with like my suburban white friends, like they were very into skating, and like, yeah, dude, bro, let's go skating. So I had like these big old Vans. Like Vans aren't like the little tiny Vans that they are now. Like they used to be ginormous. Like they looked like pillowcases that you would put your foot in. If I was going to hang out with like the ladies, because you know, hey, all right, I had that whole get up. And I remember someone calling me once. This like cut me to the core. Actually, one of my cousins. He's like, Carl, you're a chameleon. You know what chameleon is? Yeah. It's like this animal that changes colors and it's a lizard, thank you, that changes colors depending on its environment. And I would change depending on my environment because I was so terribly consumed. So terribly consumed with what others thought about me. And this stress to achieve, to get where they wanted me to be, consumed everything about me. Answer this in your head. You ever feel the pressure to perform or achieve? You ever feel like you gotta have it together so that others will accept you? You ever feel like you have to do things just so that others will invite you in? If you've ever felt like that, you're not alone. I read a study a couple years ago, and I'm assuming it's even more extreme now, but the study said that 1 in 4 high school students have shown mild symptoms of depression. And those symptoms include persistent irritability, anger, withdrawn behavior, deviation from normal appetite, irregular sleep patterns. The same report said 29% of high school students in grades 9 through 12 report feeling sad or hopeless every day for almost 2 weeks during specific seasons of the year. You're not alone. And even as I'm saying this, some of you are feeling that lump in your throat. That cold rush in your veins. And you're like, oh my gosh, he's talking to me. And if you're sensing that, look me in the eyes. I want you to get this. You're not alone. What's happening inside your head, what's happening inside your heart, is that there's this false god. This fake God, this God who has no power, not the great God of the universe that we were just singing about hailing as king. There's this other God that we're allowing to rule parts of our life. He's the God of achievement. The God of achievement says, you've got to do more. You've got to be more. More is the tithe. More is the offering that we bring to the throne of this false God. And as we bring barrels and barrels, heaps and heaps of more to this God, we find ourselves feeling less less. And the world around us, catch that. I'm not saying the world around you, because I worship this God sometimes too. The world around us is always screaming for more. And we start to tell ourselves, if the God of achievement is like this, if the God of achievement is desiring this, then probably that God that they're always talking about at church or Christians are always talking about, probably that God is the same way. My daughter, Georgia, she did Girl Scouts. And she loved it, and like it was good for her to get out of the house during COVID. So I was like, yeah, go do that, please, get out of here. I remember her coming home the first time she got a badge. If you don't know about Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, like they give you badges. And these badges like are because you do something. It's like, hey, you whittled a stick into a sharp stick. Here is a badge. You made lunch for yourself. Here is a badge. Like, these aren't things that should be getting badges, but they get them badges anyway, right? Right? And I remember Georgia becoming so consumed with getting more badges. Now here's the deal. Here's the principle of Girl Scout, Boy Scouts, all that kind of stuff. It's to teach you character development tenets and traits so that you can be a semi-decent human being. But what would happen for Georgia and what happened for the other girls in her troop is the thing became the thing. The thing they could hold in their hand became the thing that they were chasing after. It no longer became about the principle and the development behind it. It became about holding that thing in their hand. See, when it goes unchecked, the badge became greater than the value behind it. Like, something I struggle with, and I would guess many of you do too, is that maybe this God of achievement has made us take good things and hold them higher than God things. Maybe it's your status on TikTok. Maybe it's how many followers, how many likes, how many views on your reels you get. Maybe it's how many girlfriends you have. Maybe it's how much partying and how much drugs and how much stuff that's crazy so your boys will say, oh, that's dope that you can do. Maybe it's how many sneakers you have. Maybe it's how many boys you have their phone numbers and you've been with or whatever. Maybe it's your grades. Maybe it's like, oh, I'm going to be the top of the class because if I'm the top of the class, like maybe it would take these things that aren't fundamentally bad things, but we make them the main thing and we bring them to the God of achievement and we say, hey, God of achievement, am I good enough? And the God of achievement replies, more. More. And maybe that struggle for more has kept you from knowing a Jesus that says, enough. Maybe the search for more has stopped you, has created a barrier for you from knowing and hearing from the Jesus that says, enough. This is what happens for a young man just a little older than most of y'all. Well, we see this in Mark chapter 10. This young man is going to approach Jesus, and here is some context to understand how he's thinking. This young man was a wealthy man. He was a young man of means, which means he had worked to get stuff. And in the first, second, and third century, and really even today, it's associated that if you got stuff, that means you're blessed. You ever heard that saying, too blessed to be stressed, right? Right? Poor people don't say too blessed to be stressed, right? So there's this guy, and he has this. And he's young, which now means his approach to Jesus is actually sincere. He's actually coming to Jesus because he's living in this context where he's like, they told me to get more stuff and do more things and do these lists of things. And if I do those, then I'll be blessed and then I'll be in your favor. And this young man wasn't ever holding back. He was an all-in kind of dude. That's why he's accumulated the wealth that he has. So he sees Jesus. And he's been worshiping at the throne of the God of achievement. And now he sees Jesus and he's like, what worked with that God should work with this one. Look what it says in verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked. What must I do? Ooh, come on, somebody. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Somebody needs this next verse right here. Somebody needs the first couple words in this verse. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Give me eyes. Give me eyes. Why don't you get this? Listen. That's not a clap. I was just like snapping for you to get my eyes. Listen. Some of y'all, you've been doing this thing on your own. You have made mistakes. You have messed up. News alert, you're going to mess up again. But Jesus is always looking at you this same way. He's looking at you with love. And in his love for you, he's going to tell you some hard things. Sometimes you're going to read some stuff in this collection of 66 books, in this collection of correspondence and letters. Sometimes you're going to read some stuff that's going to make you think there's no way that Jesus loves me. Because he says stuff, or his followers say stuff, or write stuff in this book that I don't really agree with. Listen to me. That don't mean he don't love you. Because there's things that you don't agree with or that aren't comfortable to you in the scripture, in the holy word of God, it doesn't mean that God, that Jesus doesn't love you. It means, in fact, that there are some other gods that you and I love more than we love Jesus. And the walk of a person of faith, notice I didn't say a Christian. The walk of a person of faith is to get to a point in life where I start saying, Jesus, God, there are some things that I don't like that are in this book. There are some things that I don't like that are in this collection of books. But because you are God, because you are a heavenly Father, because you are good, because you say enough when the world says more, even though I don't want to do these things, I'm going to do them because I remember the first part of that passage that says, you love me. So when you ask me to do something, it's not because you despise, it's not because you condemn, it's not because you are holding back from me, it's because you love me. And understand this, young people, everything in this world will try to tell you that the things that God asks us to do, the things that God asks us to obey, the things that God asks us to submit ourselves to are to hold stuff back from us. Where in fact, God is saying, I want to give you everything. I want to give you abundance. Hear me. Listen, your phones, your friends, the stuff more, it only wants to take from you. And I'm not just talking about the bad stuff. I'm talking about the distracting stuff. It only wants to take from you. And there is a living God that's saying, I want to give you more. I'm not requiring more. I want to give you more. But sometimes, I'm going to ask you to do some, sometimes I'm going to ask you to commit to some things that aren't easy. Sometimes I'm going to ask you to commit to some things that are uncomfortable. So for this young man, Jesus says to him in the second part of verse 21, there's only one thing you lack. So here he is. He's like, oh, here he goes. More, I get it. Yeah, that's the other God, the God of achievement. He's always telling me more. He wants. Jesus, there's only one thing you lack. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Jesus, sell everything. Give it away. Jesus saying, the stuff that's distracting you from me, get rid of it. And when you do, what your request was earlier was how do I inherit the kingdom of heaven? I'm going to tell you right now. Look at this. The treasure in heaven, you'll get that. Commit to what I'm asking you. See, the young man needed to understand what many of us need to understand today. What many of us need to hold on to when we feel we need to chase after the God of achievement. And it's this big idea. You are enough because Jesus is more than enough. You are enough because Jesus is more than enough. Like a few years ago, there were these senior citizens, I read a lot of weird stuff, but there's these senior citizens that were like 95 years old and older. And they were asked the question, and the question was, if you had to live life all over again, what would you do differently? They weren't given multiple choice answers. They were allowed to say whatever they wanted. They were allowed to answer however they wanted. But three themes kept coming up as they were interviewing these folks. And these are 95-year-old people, so like they ain't got much long to live, right? So they all kind of said these three same sentiments. And it was this. It was, I wish I reflected more. I wish I had risked more. I wish I could have left more behind. As these folks are on the precipice of death, they're still talking about more. It's not just about being a kid. It's about holding on to this truth. It's about understanding this truth that I'm enough because Jesus is more than enough. So I don't have to keep chasing. Look at me, young people. I don't have to. You don't have to keep chasing after more. Paul says it like this to the church in Corinthians. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Do you hear me on that, friends? What you can't see, what you can't put into your phone, what you can't put into your pockets, what you can't build around you, what you can't get from that text message, what you can't get from that relationship, what you can't get from that sports team, from that report card, what you can't get it's temporary. But what you can't see, the love, the compassion, the mercy, the forgiveness of this Jesus that we just sang about walking on the water and calling us to come out on the water, the Jesus we just talked about saying we're going to hail you as a savior. What you can't see is eternal. So I'm going to fix my eye, my mind's eye, like Josh talked about yesterday, my heart's eye, I'm going to fix that on eternity. See, it's not about trying harder to get to heaven, but it's about renewing our hearts and our mind on what is really important, and that is. So I want to give you three things this morning to focus on. Three things to focus on as you're kind of making your way through the rest of this day. Three things to chat with your small group leader about, with your pastor about. Three things just to wrestle with in your head and in your heart. Three things to dethrone the God of achievement. The first one is this. It's understanding that doing doesn't define you. Doing doesn't define you. The young man said to Jesus, all these things I have kept since I was a boy. And Jesus, God is saying, I'm not impressed with your achievements. I'm not impressed with how many home runs you hit on your AAU team. I'm not impressed with how many sneakers, how many girls, how many guys, what college you go to, what high school you go to, how much money you, I'm not impressed with that stuff. What I'm seeking is uncommon devotion in the face of a culture that tells you otherwise. What I'm seeking is a love that runs so deep that you would forsake everything else for me. What I seek is that you would love me, Jesus, above all else. And understand, I got eternity waiting on the other side of your obedience. Listen. Y'all clap too much here. Here's the deal. I've done this illustration a bajillion times, but I'm going to do it again. There you go, cool guy. Cool guy, grab the other side of that. Get up, cool guy. Come on. What's your name, Bubba?
William.
Hey, William. Hey, buddy. How's it going? William, go over there. Look at that shirt William got on. This man looking good. Ooh. Keep going, William. There you go. Keep going. Now hide, go behind that curtain, William. It's right next to you, the curtain, just right there. Just go behind that curtain. He's like, what curtain? That curtain you're touching, yes, go behind it. cover, hide behind the curtain. Don't mess up the illustration. There we go. Thank you, William. It's not about you, all right? Here he is. Let's say this rope represents eternity. Time, right? Time. Like right now it's 2:18 Pacific time. So let's pretend that this rope is all of time. From when the moment, God's always been here, right? So God didn't start at Genesis 1. Like God was here before that. So just for like, let's humor ourselves. Let's say all the time that God and Jesus were for with the Holy Spirit are on this rope. And now imagine like it's like goes out that door, right? So this is a long rope. It's eternal. It's all time. And God says, in the beginning God created, Moses wrote this actually in Genesis. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, right? So boom, like let's say it just started here. Like it just starts. Our world that we understand. The average American lives to be about 72 years old. It used to be 74, but it's gone down this last year. The average American lives to be about 72 years old. Imagine that the rope doesn't end with William behind the curtain. I don't know what that's all about, right? But goes on forever and ever. That's why it's going on into the dark abyss, right? If this is eternity, right? 73 years, like your lifetime on this earth, right? Would be like, it'd be like impossible to even see how little that is. Okay? For argument's sake, let's make it represent this much. Doing and worshiping at the feet of the God of achievement says this. Every decision you're ever going to make, every choice you're ever going to make, every idea, every text you ever send, every post you ever post, everything you ever like, tweet, tick, send, snap, whatever, everything you ever do, it means everything for this amount of time. It's everything. Ooh, let me get in your business. Some of y'all, you're doing everything for this incy-wincy piece of time. Because you don't think that all of this time matters. Because what Jillian or Brittany thinks about you, what Juan or Hector thinks about you in this little bit of time should shape everything that I do. William, come from behind that closet. Whatever. I said, oh my God, I said, come out. Come here. Give him a hand. Don't mess up eternity. Leave eternity. Go sit down. There you go. Stop messing with the time continuum. Okay, listen. Doing doesn't define you. Doing doesn't define you. What matters is all of that. But the God of achievement says, nope. Right now. The God of achievement says, no. Right now. So do more. And the God of achievement, when we allow him to get a hold of our heart, our actions, our behaviors, our thoughts, he begins to make things that God intended to be clear get fuzzy. To follow Jesus is to be a disciple of Jesus, a student of Jesus. But when I'm a student of the God of achievement, like this young man was, you know what it does? It distorts discipleship. Doing distorts discipleship. Doing tells me the more I do, the more I become like Jesus, the more I become like the people of Jesus, the more I become like the things that this world wants to see. And Jesus is desiring that his followers aren't blind to what it means to follow him, but he also wants us to understand the power is in him and not in what we do. And doing makes it all wonky and weird. And then it's like we start to see the things of God in this distorted lens. Y'all are into this, like the ocular lens, what is it called? What? Don't say it to me like I'm an idiot. I'm 150 years old. This guy's 11. He's like, it's the Oculus lens, buddy. Come on. What is it?
The Oculus Quest?
Yes. Okay, I'm sorry. Oculus Quest. Let's hear it for science boy, right? So y'all got this Oculus Quest. Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Oculus Quest, right? So the Oculus Quest, where my notes go? Oh, Lord. The Oculus Quest can take you into the metaverse, which I still don't understand, but it like allows you to see stuff that ain't there, right? And then you like people have them on and they're like fighting, they're cutting up fruit and doing stuff, but you can't see it, but they see it and it's clear to them, right? There's a distortion. Ooh, that's a distortion of reality. People will say, oh, there's virtual reality. No, there's a distortion of reality. I saw this in a newspaper from England. These farmers and scientists, they took those Oculus Lens Quest things. They took those what is it? Get over here, get over here, get over here, get over here. Hurry up, hurry up. What is it?
The Oculus Quest.
Shh.
The Oculus Quest.
Say it loud so the people can hear.
Oculus Quest.
The Oculus Quest. You have just won an Oculus Quest. John will give it to you after. No, I'm kidding. That's not true. Get out of here. The doctors, he's like, I already got one, buddy. Like, right? The Oculus Quest, they put something like them on these cows. And even though these cows were being raised in like the tundras of Siberia, they put these Oculus cloud, these lenses on these cows. Imagine cows wearing those things. To distort the cow's reality. And inside these things, the cows were seeing beautiful green pastures and sun. And it actually, listen to this, it actually changed the way that they behaved. You see, the distortion of reality can actually change the way that we behave. And we can start thinking, if I do things a certain way, if I believe in certain things, then I can gain and achieve more. If I do and believe in a certain way in this life, then I can do and achieve more. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? What will it matter if you get everything in this temporary life, but it costs you your eternal soul? Doing will fool you into thinking eternity is worth today. Eternity is worth the things you and I are chasing after. Doing will distort the reality and the clarity of God's love for us. and it'll leave us hopeless. But because Jesus looks at us with love, like it says in verse 21, Jesus gives you, like he gives this young man, an opportunity. He gives you an opportunity. And he says, go sell everything. Go sell everything. And if he had, he would have gained what he was actually looking for. Remember, he comes to Jesus and he says, teacher, rabbi, what must I do to gain eternal inheritance? And Jesus says, just give everything. Here's the last thing I want you all to get today. Listen to me. It's this. Surrender saves. Surrender is what will save you. Surrender is saying, Jesus, I'm enough because you are more than enough. I don't have to keep trying. I don't have to keep fretting. I don't have to keep pretending. Jesus, hands out, hands up. I'm giving it all to you. And I'm telling the God of achievement that he can no longer be on the throne of my heart. That he can no longer be king of my mind. He can no longer be ruler of my world, because I am giving up and submitting and surrendering to a Jesus that doesn't ask for more, but says, enough. Jesus is saying, he is enough. There's this amazing quote, I love it, by this guy, Abraham Kuyper, and he says this: There's not one square inch in the whole dominion of our human existence over which Christ, that's Jesus, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine, that belongs to me. There's not one piece of human existence, no fiber on your body, no dirt on the ground, that Jesus doesn't call over and says, mine. You know what that means? It means he has more than enough. And he's not asking you for more. He is telling you, I've got it all. So what do you want from us, Jesus? Because this young man in this text, he goes away sad. When Jesus says, give me everything, then come follow me and inherit the kingdom of heaven, this man leaves. So we're sitting here in 2022 and we're like, well, what do you want from me, Jesus? What do I got to do? Surrender. Surrender the desire, the thing inside of you that says you got to be something else. You've got to do something else. You've got to be more. You've got to do more. Surrender that to Jesus. Surrender the things that remind you of the God of achievement, and give yourself over to this God who says, I want to give you life. I want to give you life in abundance. I want to give you eternity. Say, Jesus, I give it all to you. Because he already calls out, it all belongs to me anyways. You realize that? Jesus, he's like, you belong to me already anyways. Would you just say, yeah, I get it. I'm yours. Not my stuff, not my status. I'm yours. Life is not ultimately defined by what we have done. It's defined by who we belong to. And if you want to know what Jesus wants from you today, he wants you to recognize and articulate and live in such a way that you pronounce, I belong to Jesus. Or you could keep trying to do more. You are enough because Jesus is more than enough. But there's something for each and every one of us that's got that seat. There's something that we're bringing to the little tiny throne room of the God of achievement. And we're living our whole life just trying to make sure that little God is happy with us. While this God of heaven and earth is saying, hey, what about me? So right there where you're sitting, I want you to think for a moment. And some of y'all already know what it is. What's that thing that I have been giving myself to? What's that thing that sits at the feet of that little G God that's keeping me from the God of heaven and earth? And today, right now, I just want you to recognize what it is. I'm not telling you to make some life-changing decision right now. I just want you to recognize what that thing is. All across this room, let's close our eyes. Maybe for you, before I go there, so like, when you surrender, like, it's like, let me see your hands. Not you, I'm saying that. It's let me see your hands. So you either put your hands out or you put your hands up. So, like when y'all were worshiping, you were all putting your hands up, and it's a signature, it's a sign of surrender, right? Don't put your hands up yet. But like, put your hands up with your eyes closed. If the thing you need to surrender, ready, is your social status, just quickly put your hands up. If that's a thing, hey, I gotta surrender my social status. I'm letting that become too important to me. Stand to your feet if that's you. Stand to your feet if you just raise your hand. Stand to your feet. With your eyes closed, still stand up. Stand up. See, some of y'all are still worried about what other people think about you. If the thing you need to surrender is what my friends think about me, would you throw your hands up? Now, with your eyes closed, stand to your feet. if the thing you need to surrender is, hey, I got to get certain grades, because that's, my parents say that's the most important thing that is. If it's like your grades and your school stuff, throw your hands up. Now stand to your feet. If it's, hey, I got to have more stuff. I got to have the latest and greatest stuff. I got to have the best drip. I got to have the coolest phone. If it's like material stuff that chasing after material stuff, if that's what you need to surrender, put your hands up. Now stand to your feet. Some of y'all are athletes, and God's gifted you as athletes, right? But you worship your sport, and you play Jesus, and you play church. If it's your sport, the thing that your activity, maybe it's Stugo, whatever it is, but you got this thing that you got to give up. Throw your hands up. It's like, hey, I got to surrender this. Stand to your feet. If it's your sports, if it's your stuff, I'm going to get all up in your business. Because some of y'all still sitting down because of that person sitting next to you or sitting in the row in front of you. If you're so consumed about what that boy or what that girl thinks about you, that you're in a relationship with or you desire to be in a relationship with, and that's distorting what it means to follow Jesus, would you throw your hands up? Just stand up. Hey, I gotta stop letting he, she, her, they, them, him, I gotta stop letting them rule what's going on in my heart and in my life. If there's something that you need to surrender that I didn't even mention, that you know in the quietness of your heart, I need to surrender this because it's keeping me from following Jesus. It's keeping me from even getting close enough to understand what it means to follow him. If that's you, just stand up to your feet right now. Something I didn't even mention. It's good. Now, I'm not calling y'all out, but some of y'all are still sitting because you're still concerned about what the God of achievement thinks about you. And that's okay. You don't need to believe to belong here. But I want you to know that there's a God who says, you're enough because I am more than enough. The God of achievement would have you think that you're alone in your struggles, in your consumption, in your need for stuff. The God of achievement would want you to think you're alone so that you would have to keep bringing him more. But ready? Open your eyes. Look around the room. A bunch of us, in some shape, way, or form, are worshiping the God of achievement and want to surrender that thing that's holding us back from the God of this universe. I want to challenge y'all as y'all are going through the rest of this day. Maybe go up to one of your friends, somebody you're close with, and just be like, who's your little G God? Who's your little G God? And they might say, yo, it's my phone, it's my games, it's my sports, it's my boyfriend, it's my girlfriend, it's my... And ready? You don't got to do anything else. You ain't got to solve their problems for them. When they tell you what their little G God is, you go, yeah, well, mine's is what I wear. Give me your eyes. Stay with me. And I'm done. But here's the distraction. Remember I told you? Doing will distort or distract us from what we really have to get after. You're gonna do a bunch of fun stuff. You guys are gonna, I don't know where you're gonna go after this, but there's something's gonna happen in the next little bit that's gonna distract you or distort from you really wrestling and talking about what just happened. I wanna encourage y'all. It could be 5 minutes, it could be 10 minutes. For some of y'all, it might be longer. Find a leader, find a youth pastor, find another student, and just be like, I got to tell somebody this. Remember Josh talked about that last night. The hypocrisy, it comes when there's hiddenness in us. And just call it out. And say, hey, can we talk about this? Lord God, I thank you so much for my friends. I pray, God, that as you bring to light some of these distracting things in our head and in our hearts, God, as you bring to light the little G God, the God of achievement that keeps telling us some more, God, that we would surrender ourselves completely and fully to you, who says we are enough because you, Jesus, are more than enough. Allow us to live in that truth, that we might inherit life eternal in abundance, that we might walk closer to you, King Jesus. We love you, we thank you. In Christ's name, all God's people said,